Every day, it seems, one after another, there's a new record level of brand new cases of COVID-19.
We will explore why that is so. This is Friday, July 10th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, the U.S. president says schools with children in them will open as scheduled or else. The mayor of Seoul, South Korea, has been found dead. Black Lives Matter murals start being painted in New York City. And we will take you on a tour of the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland. It is all on today's VOA Asia. In the United States, more than 3 million people have contracted the coronavirus and more than 130,000 people have died. Now there's been a dramatic surge of cases in some of the biggest states in America, California, Florida, Texas, and Arizona. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo has more.
The California coronavirus surge led by Governor Gavin Newsom, a Democrat, to order partial lockdowns in about a third of the state's 58 counties. The state assembly, scheduled to return from summer recess next week, is also closed indefinitely. That's unacceptable to some Republicans.
It's just not a sustainable solution to shut the legislative branch of government down indefinitely. There are people across the state who depend on the work we do, not least of which the work that is directly relevant to addressing the public health issues related to COVID-19 and the associated issues affecting the economy and people's lives.
In Florida, another hard-hit state, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis says there are medical facilities across the state ready to handle the influx of coronavirus cases.
In South Florida, you now have the Miami Care Center. You have a facility in Broward that's COVID only, and then you have two in Palm Beach County that are COVID only. So that's a pretty significant number of beds to be able to care for people who are COVID positive.
On Tuesday, Florida Democratic congressional delegation blasted the governor's response to the outbreak, saying his refusal to issue statewide orders requiring masks and closing beaches is killing Floridians and spreading the disease. Florida has been averaging more than 8,500 new confirmed cases per day during the past week, almost eight times the average of a month ago. In Arizona, there's also a record demand for hospital beds.
We are definitely not seeing the curve bend. I mean, every day, it seems, one after another, there's a new record level of brand new cases of COVID-19. In the state of Arizona.
Texas, during a surge, has become one of the U.S. states worst hit by the coronavirus pandemic. More than 10,000 new cases on Tuesday, a record since the pandemic started. But despite state orders, many locals, such as these rodeo spectators, still reject social distancing regulations and wearing face masks.
Because I'm an American and I feel like I should be able to do what I want to, I pay my taxes, I live free, I want to be free.
Because it's against our constitutional rights. They shouldn't be able to dictate what I wear.
But a leading American infectious diseases expert warns after the past weekend's Independence Day celebrations, the number of coronavirus cases could increase dramatically.
We are in one of the worst parts of the epidemic. This is the beginning. They will double in the next 2 weeks. And then double again the week after that.
But the White House COVID-19 task force sees a different picture.
We're actually seeing early indications of a percent of positive testing flattening in Arizona and Florida and Texas. Governors in each of those states have taken strong steps to flatten the curve.
Vice President Mike Pence's comments come as the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention readies to issue new guidance for reopening of schools in the fall. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. Tokyo reported a daily record of 224 new cases of coronavirus Thursday, topping the previous record of 208 new infections in mid-April when Japan was under a state of emergency. Australia suspends its extradition treaty with Hong Kong in response to the new national security law imposed on the city by China. The Taliban denied reports Thursday that they've agreed to an alternative list of prisoners to break a deadlock over prisoner exchange, which is holding back the start of negotiations to reach a political settlement. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. Federal health officials will issue new guidelines for reopening U.S. schools after President Donald Trump criticized the current recommendations as tough, expensive, and impractical. The coronavirus pandemic forced nearly all public and private schools in the United States to lock their doors, and Trump is threatening to cut federal funding to schools that stay shut. The president said, "We want to reopen the schools. Everybody wants it. The moms want it. The dads want it. The kids want it. It's time to do it." Vice President Mike Pence, who leads the White House Coronavirus Task Force, told reporters Wednesday that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention would update its guidelines for safely reopening schools. It plans to announce the new recommendations next week. Doctors believe children 12 and younger have a low risk of getting sick from the coronavirus, but youngsters can still spread it to older people, including their parents. The previous CDC recommendations for schools to avoid spreading COVID-19 include keeping classroom windows open, spacing desks at least 2 meters apart when possible, and keeping cafeterias and playgrounds closed. Trump tweeted, "I disagree with the CDC on their very tough and expensive guidelines for opening schools. While they want them open, they're asking schools to do very impractical things." A Trump tweet also indicated he thinks keeping schools shut hurts his chances of winning a second term. The head of the National Education Association, the country's largest teachers union, dared Trump to visit a classroom full of young pupils if health precautions have not been taken. U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar said reopening schools safely may be the single most important thing that we can do to support healthy families during this pandemic. Happening now in Asia, the United States Thursday imposed sanctions on Chinese officials, including a member of the country's powerful Politburo, accusing them of serious human rights abuses against the Uyghur Muslim minority, a move likely to further ratchet up tensions between Washington and Beijing. Stay up to date with VOA. This is VOA Asia. Earlier this week, the Student and Exchange Visitor Program announced that due to the COVID-19 pandemic, international students enrolled in U.S. universities on an F-1 visa may not take all courses online. To maintain their visa status, students must transfer to a university offering in-person classes or leave the country. Colleges and universities who were blindsided by the Trump administration order were already grappling with adjustments to the fall semester, and logistical challenges of safely resuming classes are now scrambling to assist the thousands of foreign students who will be impacted. Johan Chen has been studying government and international politics at George Mason University in Virginia on a student F-1 visa. He talks with VOA's Lori London about his reaction of hearing the news.
Naturally, I was really stressed because my entire schedule was changed into online for next semester. So I didn't know what to do. But then I realized GMU was going to operate hybrid, so I could just make some minor changes to my schedule and I'll be better.
Were you ever worried that you would actually have to leave?
Yeah, because in the statement, they were really firm about it. They said your legal status will be, might be affected. And then you will probably be deported, or you have to transfer school. It just sounded really serious. So I was worried that I might have to leave.
Did you already start thinking of what you would do? Would you transfer to a different school? Would you try to stay in the country, or would you just go back home to try to go to school there?
I am trying my best to stay here in the United States and, just trying to stay. I'm not considering transferring or going back. I was just editing my schedule so that, it follows the guideline.
In general, what do you think about this new policy that the Trump administration has just put forward?
In my opinion, So obviously, Trump wants schools to open. He wants schools to open in fall. So I think this new policy is like a statement to the schools around the country to tell them that if you don't open, then you're going to lose your international students. And of course, us international students get affected by this policy. Regarding the international student community, they're also stressed and shocked.
Well, how do you think this will impact others like yourself at universities that are only offering online due to very high levels of the pandemic?
I don't think it's a positive. Obviously, they have to go home now. And when they go home, they can't really take online classes as well because, especially for Chinese people, the internet has restrictions. And then there's also, the time zone difference, like a 12-hour time zone difference. It's going to completely mess up their schedule to be able to attend online classes. So many people, I believe, when they leave the country, they'll just take a gap year.
What made you decide to come to the U.S. to study?
Most of my middle school and my entirety of my high school education, I went to an Ivy school for that, an international school. I was just a little bit westernized in terms of the studying side of me is pretty westernized. So I'm more used to the way that how Westerners teach and study. And I really think America is a great opportunity for me to expand my horizon since, it's a really big country and has a really, in my opinion, a really good educational system. So many universities and such, all the advantages. So I decided to come to the United States.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Glad that you're not going to have to be packing up. That would have been a difficult situation.
GMU said you're trying to figure something out for the international students. I think the school is at least trying to support us, and I'm very glad.
Student Johan Chen speaking with VOA's Lori London.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. As schools reopened in China after the COVID-19 outbreak, they've thrown themselves into a nationwide exercise to remove books deemed politically incorrect. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Police say the body of the missing mayor of South Korea's capital, Seoul, has been found. They say Park Won-soon's body was located in hills in northern Seoul early on Friday, more than 7 hours after they launched a massive search for him. Park's daughter had called police Thursday afternoon to report him missing, saying he had given her a will-like message before leaving home. News reports say one of Park's secretaries had lodged a complaint with police on Wednesday night over alleged sexual harassment. Some 300 to 400 officers and a drone were mobilized in the search, according to police. Kim Ji-young, a Seoul Metropolitan Government official, said Park had not shown up for work on Thursday for unspecified reasons and had canceled all of his schedule, including a meeting with a presidential official at his Seoul City Hall office. Park, a longtime civic activist and human rights lawyer, was elected Seoul's mayor in 2011. He became the city's first mayor to be voted into a third term in June last year. A member of President Moon Jae-in's Liberal Democratic Party, he has been considered a potential presidential candidate in the 2022 elections.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
You're listening to VOA Asia. A large mural dedicated to the Black Lives Matter movement is being completed in New York City's Harlem neighborhood. The mural will become part of the famous 125th Street in the heart of the historically African-American district. There are plans for similar works of art celebrating racial justice to appear in each of New York City's five boroughs. Nina Vishneva has the story narrated by Anna Rice.
Despite the sweltering summer heat, the work on this large mural in New York's Harlem doesn't stop.
I wanted to show my son how to be involved in the issues that matter.
18-month-old Emerson is the youngest artist here in Harlem. He watches his mother, Kelsey Harrow, together with other activists, paint the road and the heart of New York's Harlem. They are finishing the large mural dedicated to the Black Lives Matter movement and racial justice.
It represents the past, the present, and going into the future. The reflection of them two together and him ascending to her with the wings open is paying homage to the names and the unarmed people that were murdered by the police that I'm stenciling in the chenou here on the ground.
Large Black Lives Matter murals are set to appear on streets of all five New York boroughs. Activists and civil organizations took care of paints and brushes, letting artists do their job.
Important time as ever to continue to fight for liberation as a community, and I think celebrating the joy of artists. Harlem is a place full of history and present artists.
The murals are a result of the mass protests sparked by the death of George Floyd while in custody. The demonstrations took place across the nation and around the world. A new wave of protests spilled onto Harlem streets in the form of paint.
The four badge numbers of the officers, and I put a red line through them. And I also took the 846, and that was the time of one of the officers had his knee on his neck.
Mayor Bill de Blasio emphasized the importance of such art projects and said projects like the one in Harlem demonstrate the city's support for the Black Lives Matter movement. Another large mural will appear in the heart of Manhattan in front of Trump Tower in mid-July. But not everyone agrees it is a good idea.
Is going to put Black Lives Matter in front and Trump Tower and use taxpayer money to pay for it. He is making a political statement, and he's even admitted it, geared entirely to antagonize the president.
Street art has turned into a socio-political protest. Streets turned into a canvas. Artists in New York City are determined to make city streets display new colors. For Nina Vishnova in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
100 meters beneath the borders of France and Switzerland near the city of Geneva is a tunnel 27 kilometers around called the Large Hadron Collider. It's where scientists are working to answer one of life's biggest riddles. What is the universe made of? The physicists working at CERN, officially the European Organization for Nuclear Research, are looking for elements like antimatter and dark matter and how the universe works. VOA's Penny Dixon traveled to CERN and files this report.
Inside the tunnel, a gigantic machine is helping scientists decipher what science has never been able to explain, the origins of the universe. But just because they've been able to use the machine to confirm the existence of the smallest particles that theoretical physicists have predicted, and can accelerate protons, one of the building blocks of atoms, to nearly the speed of light, and create antimatter, it doesn't mean they understand everything yet. Ludovin Sird is a physicist with CERN's CMS collaboration facility. Sird says, at what is thought to have been the beginning of the universe, the so-called Big Bang, scientists believe that matter, like you and me, along with antimatter, negative matter, were created in equal amounts.
In principle, if the difference between the two is only the charge, they should have just recombined and leave nothing but radiation. However, we're here. I'm talking with you right now. So it means that at some point, matter took over the antimatter, and this must be because there are some differences between matter and antimatter that we don't know about.
Searching for those differences is one of the tasks for the people at CMS, the compact muon solenoid, one of four main research points along the Large Hadron Collider at CERN. Packets of protons race around a ring in beams, traveling clockwise and counterclockwise. When the physicists are ready, the beams are focused by a team led by Rende Steerenberg and made to collide at one of four experiment locations around the circle.
And then on either end of the experiments, we will switch on focusing magnets so that the beam squeezes into a small dimension and therefore the probability of collision increases.
Out of the 200 billion protons in the two beams rushing around the circuit, only 100 will collide. But right now, the collider and the experiments around it are in the midst of a 2-year shutdown for maintenance and upgrades, which happens every 3 years. For VOA, it meant a rare glimpse into a world not many get to see. For physicists like Patricia McBride with the Fermi Lab in the United States, the shutdown provides an opportunity to recharge.
But we're looking at ways of making the detector better, repairing things, putting in new detectors, and preparing for the future runs, which the experiment will be running until, we hope, till 2035.
The CMS collaboration includes some 4,000 scientists from more than 50 countries from across Europe, as well as India, China, South Korea, Egypt, other parts of the Middle East, and Russia. The discoveries and developments made at CERN are already helping to transform fields as diverse as nuclear waste disposal, medical testing, detection of art forgeries, and efforts to disrupt financial markets. Penny Dixon, VOA News, Geneva.
Many sporting events, including horse racing, have been canceled or postponed due to the coronavirus pandemic. One of them was the annual Gold Cup steeplechase in the Plains, Virginia, outside Washington. But instead of scrapping the entire event, the organizers decided to hold the race without spectators. As we hear from VOA's Deborah Block, this year Gold Cup was offered virtually to anyone who wanted to watch it.
And they're off and running.
Here at the Great Meadow Race Course in Virginia, the Gold Cup is one of America's premier steeplechase horse races, drawing large crowds. Normally, tailgaters party and wear fancy hats. But for the first time in its 95-year history, the event was live-streamed for free and without the usual cheering onlookers.
There was a sort of an eeriness as we're watching the races when they would pass the grandstand, and the grandstand was empty. And there's a, you know, the Gold Cup, we have 50, 60,000 people come. The roar of the crowd at the finish is just something that's part and parcel to every experience I've had.
Even live streamed, the steeplechase races were exciting to watch.
Some are over hurdles or like simulated brush jumps. Others are over stiffer jumps, timber jumps. So these horses are jumping a significant height at speed. So they're doing 30 miles an hour and jumping at the same time.
Deborah Block, VOA News, The Plains, Virginia.
A new type of doctor's office claims to use the latest tech and wearables to provide cutting-edge preventative health. Deanna Mitchell got a tour.
Hi there. Come on in. Welcome to Forward.
It's where technology meets medicine.
When our members come into a Forward practice, they check in on an iPad. It's as simple as choosing your initials here on the screen.
In various U.S. cities, doctor's offices like these are popping up in urban areas, not only modernizing things like check-in and making appointments via an app, but also sharing with doctors the data collected by wearables that track things like heart rate and sleep patterns. A Forward employee sits quietly at a table nearby, just in case help is needed. After signing in, it's time for a 21st century head-to-toe scan.
A body scanner is a really cool device that we build here at Forward. It's a number of sensors put together into one device to give us really useful information about our members' health.
24 high-definition cameras scan the body, allowing sensors to measure height, weight, hip-to-waist ratio, blood oxygen level, and heart rate. All this data is collected without the need to interact with another human.
There's no waiting. You get to see your doctor right at the time when you're expecting to.
Patients, or members as they are called, pay $149 a month for an all-inclusive fee that includes some prescriptions.
Including unlimited visits with the doctor, including the telemedicine service via our app, which gives you round-the-clock access to our team.
Important bits of the conversation with the doctor auto-populate on a giant touchscreen. The first visit, or baseline as they call it, includes blood work done on-site, with results in about 20 minutes, and also something most doctors do not, genetic testing.
Using the latest scientific evidence, we can tell you about which conditions you may be at higher risk for based on your genes.
Utilizing the best of wearables and modern technology, Forward may be coming to a corner near you. For VOA News, Deanna Mitchell, San Francisco, California.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. And you can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Poopyboon, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melvin in Washington. Stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.